an interview with a super coach. This is the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 138. Welcome to the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I'm John Kugler, athletic scholarship coach and a dad of two scholarship athletes. I'm also the CEO of RecruitMe. I'm a podcaster, author, and speaker. This podcast is 15 minutes that will change your scholarship future. So I dig in, I give you takeaways you can use immediately. And in this episode, you're going to get a little bit of a bonus time in order to squeeze in the interview I have for you in this episode. By the way, you can find each episode on my website at recruitme.com, but of course it's easier on your podcast app. So get it there. And you can also get on my website the Recruiting Power Pack. It's free. It's a free download. Got three items in there. Three free. It's the first steps to an athletic scholarship. A six-page PDF. You can read it quickly and kind of drive a stake in the ground and say, this is where we're starting. Also, the audio on when and how to use video. And finally, your player profile resume template that is worth its weight in gold. Go get that free. Immediate downloads at recruitme.com. Make sure you check out RecruitMe 3.0 at recruitme.com/system. Well, I'll tell you, as it goes on the field or on the court, wherever you might be, or in the pool, sometimes things don't go the way you have planned. And that's exactly what's happened here today. But maybe they don't go the way you have planned, and it turns out really well anyway. I had planned on bringing you an interview with a parent who's got a son who's a D1 athlete, and we're going to talk through the process of getting him recruited and where he landed. And then another son that's a high school athlete and the process they're going through now and what he learned the first time around that he'll apply the second time around. It was a great interview, and I was going to bring it to you this week. However, I made a mistake. Technical error. User error. I was the user. It's all my fault. We're going to do that interview again, and I'll get Brent back on the show, and I'm sure it'll be better the second time around. In the meantime, though, I've got something that I wanted to share with you from, I call him a super coach because, well, you'll know in the interview, but also he's a dad of a high school athlete that I wanted to hear his perspective, especially as a coach. This is motivational for athletes especially. So parents, you got to get your son or daughter to listen to this episode. It's an interview with Eric Johnson. This is coming from episode number 43. We're talking about, 100 episodes ago, something like that. And it was so good, I was wanting to reserve a time to bring it back to you again. The information is, it's powerful stuff. And look, we've got an opening this week, and he's a dad, and he's a coach. So I guess it's kind of dad week. We're going to bring you that interview and my conversation with Eric Johnson. Eric, thank you for joining me.
You bet. My pleasure, John.
Now, you're pretty good with a microphone because you're a radio guy.
Been in radio for almost 30 years now.
30 years. That is amazing. And you're out of Omaha, Nebraska, and your heart is sports. I mean, you got your day job in radio, but man, I said you're a super coach, and that's because how many hockey teams do you normally coach?
Well, I don't think there's a normal about it, John. I actually coach various teams at various times of the year. I coach a high school hockey team. It's a club hockey team, and I've coached that team for about 10 years or so, 11 years. Actually, no, I'm more than that. I'm up to 13 now with that team.
Wow.
I've also coached a 14 and under team. I was the assistant coach for that team last year. I was the head coach for the team the year prior. This past season, I also coached a 12 and under team. There's been a couple of years I've coached three teams at a time. Most years, it's usually two teams at a time. When we're not skating on the ice, I'm typically helping out coaching a roller hockey team. I've coached various head coaching positions with roller hockey teams. I've coached lacrosse the past few years. This is the first year, and I think the last five, I'm not the head coach of a lacrosse team. And I just enjoy helping everybody. On my side job, I'm also a podcast talent coach, And I coach podcasting talent there as well. So I love helping people improve.
And so you never sleep. You're telling me, right?
Not a lot.
So Eric, where are some of your athletes competing these days in college? Where have you sent them?
Well, a few of my hockey players have played up in Iowa. They played over in South Dakota. I have one that's played actually here in Nebraska. We started a new Division III college program at Midland University, which is in Fremont, about an hour north of Omaha. A lot of my hockey players actually double as lacrosse players because the two seasons don't typically overlap. So a lot of them will play high school lacrosse as well. I have lacrosse players out near Durango, Colorado, down in Kansas, a couple over in Illinois playing around the Chicago area. There's one playing down near St. Louis. So they're kind of strewn all over the country.
So you've got the coaching you're doing, but maybe I should ask you a little bit about your family, because your kids tie into all this coaching side gig that you have, which is it's hard to call it a side gig because you're doing this as you're diving right into it. It's a big part of your life. But tell me about your family.
Yeah, I love coaching. I don't get paid for any of it, unfortunately, but I do it because it's a passion of mine. I actually started coaching when my son was really little. I began coaching the high school team in 2004, and Simon was actually born in 2003, so he wasn't yet on skates.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. Boy, yeah, man, you start him early there. I thought they started him early in Canada.
We got him on skates at 3. He started playing hockey at 4. And absolutely hated it. And so when he was 5, he didn't play. I said, hey, buddy, you don't want to play. You don't have to play. I didn't want to push him.
So you didn't say, hey, suck it up and get out there.
Right. I'll give you something to cry about. Get out on that ice. So when he was 5, he didn't play. When he was 6, he said, Dad, I'll play this year if you'll coach me. And I said, well, yeah, absolutely. So that's when I started coaching 2 teams. I coached the high school team, and I coached the initiation program, which were all the kids that were just learning how to skate and how to play hockey. So everybody that comes into our hockey organization, regardless of age, needs to go through at least one session of IP just to learn the basics of the game. So I coached him there when he was 6. Man. I have a daughter as well. She's a couple of years older than Simon, and she's into the arts. She acts. She plays 3 musical instruments. And so my wife runs her all around while I'm at the hockey rink all day.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I got a confession. I played hockey when I was young, very young. I was 7 years old, and we called that division the Sprites. The 8 and 9-year-olds were the Peewees, and we were beneath that. We were the Sprites. But I never excelled in hockey, even though we had rinks in the backyard. I grew up in upstate New York, so we go ahead and ice water down the snow and build a rink and play at night with the lights on, but I couldn't skate backwards, and that was the end of it for me.
The very first year I played, I was not able to skate backwards either, and I just had to learn. I had to force myself to learn. I didn't start playing until I was 9 years old.
Okay.
And most kids start when they're 5, so these kids had a good 4 years on me. And I just had to pick it up quickly. Grew up here in Omaha, which isn't a huge hockey hotbed, but we do have the University of Nebraska Omaha Mavericks, who play in the NCHC.
Well, what was your what
Denver
was your background?
And a lot of the really good, hockey teams. So what was that?
What was your sports background growing up playing?
I played everything. My dad got me into baseball when I was 5. I started bowling when I was 5 as well. I started playing hockey when I was. When I was 9, and I did all 3 of those through junior high. I stopped playing baseball as a freshman in high school when I learned I couldn't hit the curveball.
in skating backwards.
I remember the day I'm standing in the batter's box and we're playing the Omaha Cornhuskers, which were this top. It was right when we started playing select ball, and I'm standing in the box waiting for the pitch. And this kid that was pitching to us, 9th grader, he had to be 6 foot tall. And he threw that ball right at me. And I took a step back out of the box because it was coming right at my head. And that ball broke and went right across the plate. And the ump called a strike and told me to stay in the box. And I was like, okay, I think I've had enough of this sport. And that was the last of my baseball career.
Well, let me jump forward to coaching, and especially I want to center in on your high school team that you're coaching, coaching a club team, which is really the way it seems that athletes have to go now. They have to not just compete in high school, no matter what sport they're in, but do tournaments and club sports as well if they want to move to the next level. But as a coach and the boys that you have coached there, what as you've seen guys go into the next level and compete in college, what are some characteristics, some common characteristics besides talent that you see is necessary for them to get to that next level?
I think the biggest thing I see with these athletes is leadership. Every one of them that is getting ready to go to school and play at the college level, I've had to write a letter of recommendation for probably half of them. And my letter of recommendation typically centers around their leadership. That's leadership in the locker room. That's leadership in dry land. That's leadership in school. That's leadership on the ice. Everything we talk about is respect. At the beginning of the season, when I meet with the team and I meet with the parents, I tell them the biggest thing we're going to teach your young men here before they're out of school is respect. It's respect for the game, respect for themselves, respect for the officials, respect for their opponents, respect for their teammates, respect for their parents. Because if we don't have respect, we don't have anything. We haven't done anything. Sports can teach you so much over and above being an athlete. And that's what I really try and do when I set out to coach a team. So when I'm writing a letter of recommendation for these young men to attend college, I usually center that letter around their leadership abilities.
Do you find that you're unusual as far as writing letters of recommendation? Does that happen for most athletes and their coaches?
I wouldn't say I'm unusual. I would say that usually you're one side of the fence or the other. There are coaches who want to develop their athletes as an all-around individual, because at some point in time, your sports career will come to an end, whether that's when you're through playing high school sports, or whether we're done playing college sports, or whether you're done playing professional sports. There are so many guys that I know that I run around with here that are coaching with me in hockey, who have played in the NHL, who have played in the AHL, who have played in the NCAA. And at some point in time, their careers come to an end and they have to accept that and do something else for the next 40 years of their life. And that's what I hope to help build that foundation. So am I the norm or am I the outlier? I would say it's probably 50-50. The coaches that I run into, I would say half of them are out to develop well-rounded young men who are prepared for life. And I would say there's probably another half of them that that coddle the super talented athletes at the expense of the rest and are out looking to win games.
Those
are becoming less and less prevalent, though.
How do you respond? How often do you get the opportunity to respond to a college coach? Do they check with you as you're a reference? Do they give you a call? Do they have conversations with you?
Usually they come to the rink. A lot of college coaches will drive down because, sure, they can watch some game film, but they want to come see the game. If they understand that there are some quality players in our league, they'll want to come down and see the game. And they typically come down to watch the All-Star game, or if there's an athlete that they're really looking at, they will come to watch a particular matchup. Maybe they are the team is playing a high caliber team, so it'll be a great game, you know, real close, hard fought game. They'll want to come watch that game. So I usually speak to them in the hallway after the game.
Okay.
And I'm also the public address announcer for the Omaha Lancers. They play in the United States Hockey League. The USHL is the top tier one junior program in the United States.
So I said, you don't sleep.
No, exactly. So I'm the in-arena public address announcer for the team. And university recruiters are in the hallways all the time talking to these kids. Junior hockey is 16 to 20 year olds. They are the top tier hockey players in the United States. The U.S. national development team, their teams play in the USHL as well. So a lot of the colleges around, whether that's Harvard or Denver or Minnesota or Michigan, they're all coming to watch these kids play because they're the best of the best. The next step after the USHL is playing in the NCAA. Many of the USHL players are already drafted in the NHL.
So these kids that are in this league, and the coaches, the college coaches, come and watch them play. And you say they talk to you. What kind of conversations do you have with those coaches? Tell me, kind of bring us into one.
They're not interested in my input on the quality of hockey player they are. Typically, we might touch on that a little bit. Most of the conversations I have with coaches are regarding their character. What kind of kid is he? How is he at practice? What is he doing off the ice? Is he in trouble at all? How are his grades? How is he at school? Does he show up on time? Does he work hard while he's here? Is he the first one here and the last one to leave? Is he the first one in line for the drill? Those are the kinds of questions that coaches are asking me. They can see what kind of hockey player he is when it comes to game time because they can sit up in the stands and watch him play the game. It's all of the other factors that come into play. That's what coaches want to know from me.
And I bet you've got a reputation too. So you've got a relationship with these coaches and you're giving them honest answers, and that's what they need. They need to rely on you as a high school coach to provide honest answers, not to inflate someone's ability or character. Because if you send them somebody and they sign them to a scholarship and they turn out to be a bad apple, that reflects on you, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that loses my credibility. It takes a long time to build a reputation and just minutes to ruin it. So I rarely will I ever inflate anything because it can only harm me. It may get the kid into the school, but as soon as they step on the ice, the coach is going to understand he just bought a bill of goods and it's not what it was cracked up to be.
Hmm. What, as we, in the last couple minutes here, what kind of advice, top of mind advice, can you give high school student athletes as they seek to compete in college to get that scholarship? You talked about character, how important that is. What are the other things that are qualities that they need to pursue, or just some advice you'd like to give?
Character is definitely the biggest one. I had a discussion with my team the other day. We were on the ice practicing, and it was a battle drill, and losers had to do push-ups on the ice. And if you've ever tried to do a push-up on the ice, it's not easy because your feet don't stay under you. So it takes it takes more core to do a push-up on the ice than it does on the ground because your feet want to slide. So there were a couple guys that would skirt it. You know, you were supposed to do 5 push-ups. They maybe do 3, you know, and pretend they did the 5. So I brought them together and I said, here's the deal. You know whether or not you did 5. And the thing is, I know whether or not you did 5 because I was counting. But I didn't bring it up because that's on you. It's your character. You're the one you're cheating, not me. I don't care if you do 3 push-ups or 5 push-ups. But if you're not going to push yourself to do the 5 push-ups, you're not going to push yourself to be great. So character is definitely top on the list.
And work ethic. That you're talking about work ethic too there.
Definitely. You have to push yourself. When nobody else is looking, you're the one that needs to push yourself to succeed. Because when it comes to competing at the next level, when it comes to becoming the best hockey player you can become, nobody cares more about it than you do. The days of your parents pushing you to be the best athlete you can be are done. When you're in the weight room and it's just you and you need to you're the one that needs to go through the reps. There's only one person that's going to push you through the reps, and that's you. So if you don't have self-discipline, it's going to be very difficult to succeed. So show up early, work hard while you're there, be the last one to leave. You know, there's so many stories about Michael Jordan staying after practice to shoot free throws, or Sidney Crosby staying after practice to work on his stick handling skills. Or there's story after story of these phenomenal athletes. What I would recommend after character and after work ethic would be putting in the reps. The way you become a phenomenal hockey player is spend time on the ice. If you've ever seen the video on YouTube of Sidney Crosby shooting at his dryer in his basement, that's how Sidney Crosby became one of the best hockey players in the world. He spent hour after hour in his basement shooting hockey pucks across the basement into a dryer. And the dryer's all beat up and it's crazy looking. And I think the dryer's now in the
We gotta look that up. I gotta find that and put a link to it in my show notes.
It is a fantastic video, because he goes back home and they interview his mom and dad, and he's downstairs with one of the other Pittsburgh Penguins and they're shooting hockey pucks into the dryer. It's a really cool video, but that's what it's all about. Putting in the reps. The more time you spend on the ice, the more time you spend in the batting cage, the more time you spend practicing your skill and get the 10,000 hours in that Malcolm Gladwell talks about in Outliers, that's when you become phenomenal. That's when you become better than the rest. Everybody wants to be the best, but few are willing to put in the work it takes to be the best.
And
I think Bobby Knight said that from the Indiana Hoosiers, and it's so true. If you're willing to put in the work and do what it takes, you can be the best.
And student athletes, as you hear this, you're also going to find out whether you really love the sport or not. As you move to the next level, you've got to love the sport. It's got to be something that you enjoy doing. It's part of your life. It's going to be part of your life for 4 years. And so if you're not willing to do that little extra, if you're not willing to do what Eric is talking about, then maybe competing at the next level isn't for you. And that's okay. That's okay. But this will give you an idea of whether you want to pursue that or not. And parents, you want, when your son or daughter goes into college and competes, you don't want them to be burnt out in their sport. You want them to continue to be hungry. They want to be there. So this is an opportunity to take a look as a parent to see, am I pushing my kid or not? Is my kid the one leading the way because they love the sport, they want to continue in the sport, or am I pushing them? So, Eric, what you're talking about there is a great test for that.
I have a great example of that. When I was in high school, my dad and I won a national championship in bowling, doubles competition. We won at the house level and the city level and the district level, went all the way up, ended up winning at the national level and won a national doubles tournament. I ended up getting a scholarship, a bowling scholarship there for that. And I ended up getting a bowling scholarship through the Omaha Association I was bowling for. Went down to the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and tried out for the bowling team there. Bill Straub was the head coach, still is, as a matter of fact. The Lady Huskers lost the national championship this year, unfortunately. But I tried out for the team and I made the team as a freshman. So I was bowling for a former national championship team and a former Pro Bowler in Bill Straub. Amazing team, amazing experience. But I didn't have the discipline to head to East Campus every day and bowl. I could go over there and bowl as much as I wanted. They had 8 lanes in East Campus. We could bowl as much as we wanted to, free of charge. Just show up, bowl all you'd like. And I didn't have the discipline as a freshman in college to go do that. When I was bowling in high school, it was my dad that was always getting me to the lanes to practice in order to win that doubles tournament that we won. But when it came time to go to college, I didn't have those discipline traits in me to push myself to get over there and bowl. And so I only bowled for the University of Nebraska my freshman year. And after that, my college bowling career was over. So I would highly recommend you develop those self-discipline skills now while you're in high school, before you head to college, because when it comes to performing in college, there's only one person that's going to make you do it, and that's yourself.
Well, I hope you found that resourceful and helpful for you in your athletic scholarship search, as Eric Johnson, a dad and a coach, helping us out and giving us some perspective. So digging into the archives for that. Hope you enjoyed it. You may have heard it before, but it was a while ago. It was episode 43. That's like ancient. Next week,
I am looking forward to what I'll bring to you, because last week we talked about three clues that you're making progress, and this week we're going to go in the other direction, or I should say next week, we're going to go in the other direction and talk about three indications that you're losing ground, and I'll provide the solutions for that. That's next week on the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. Have a great week.